Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hi, Edie. Hello, everyone. My name's Mr. Fruit, and welcome back to the GG Over Easy podcast alien episode. In today's episode, as well you would hope, we talk about aliens. We start out discussing, if you did your homework, the Bob Lazar story, his recount of the life he has had and what happened. Then we go on to discuss what we thought about it, what we did or did not believe, where we stand on it, and then talk about everything alien-wise. Are we alone in the universe? Some questions, some previous sightings, you know, are those credible? What's credible? Are aliens real? Let's find out right now.
Oh, we're back? Oh, sorry.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the GG Over Easy podcast.
You thought it was over.
The only 7-star rated podcast, which Rob is going to look up a review right now because we didn't think of that beforehand, but I just thought of it. Let's just go ahead, address the elephant in the room really quick, although this is the alien episode.
I'm ready if you know what I mean.
No, what do you mean? No. Last week, no GG Over Easy. What the heck?
Yeah.
It was with the holidays, and we had a lot of personal stuff going on. Rob and I, unfortunately, couldn't make it work. We weren't planning to not have a podcast, because if that's ever the case, we'll give you a heads up. We'll be like, hey, yeah, next week, no podcast, or like,
dude, what am I doing again? I'm looking for a review. I was like looking at Big Bird. I changed my picture to Big Bird, and I was like, man, I would die for that bird. Okay. It was weird. Sorry.
Are you an alien?
What did you do with Rob?
Maybe Big Bird is. Anyway, yeah, apologies on no episode last week. You'd be surprised how many people were like, yep, knew it. That's it. GG Over Easy is done. Well, it was a good run while it lasted.
I even did. I was like, wow, that's it. I had fun. We opened the Patreon. We're like, see ya.
Well, we out. No, that was like, you know, we lasted what, about 4 times as long as the last one. So we'll come back in like 2 years and last like 48 episodes, whatever.
All right. I have a 5-star review from Cool Hockey Player. This was on Tuesday. It's a very long one, and I'm a very bad reader. So if I stumble on some words or if I don't know how to say a word correctly, don't be like the guy in the back of the class.
Raise your hand.
Just like shouting it out, like restaurant idiot.
So like, you're struggling.
Yeah.
It's onomatopoeia.
Like, I went to the, and then the guy in the back's like, store, Rob. Thanks, Keith. Store.
Yeah, thank you.
It's called Fruit and Crew. I have been a Fruit fan since around 2015. I watched him play Destiny, Overwatch, and a bit of Fortnite. Hey. I fell apart from him when Fortnite took off, and I'm so glad I found him again, because Rob, Blue, and Fruit and everyone else can always bring a smile to my face. Even when I think bad thoughts, I will just watch Robbie's Revenge and know Rob has it worse. Okay, wow. I mean, sure. But in all seriousness, I love this podcast because I can relate. I love all of your guys' videos and love to see that you are all successful. I don't care if you get one view on your videos. That will be me enjoying my time because you're amazing and funny videos. Thanks for the podcast and everything you have done for me. Well, thank you, Cool Hockey Player.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything you've done for us and would still watch if we got one view.
Because that was, that could have very well been the usual, like, I used to watch you. But this was the, I used to watch you, and now I do again.
But I watch again.
You came back. So, shout out to you. I don't know how you, like, lost me. I didn't go anywhere, but.
We have that joke where, like, when we go to, like, Guardian Con or, like, GCX, when we meet somebody, and we're like, what's your favorite video? And they're like, I love Rob's Revenge. We're like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah. At this point, it's like, that's, like, in internet time. That's,
yeah.
Like,
I love your TTTs. Like,
oh,
okay, sweet.
Yeah, that one's like, oh, yeah. Okay, nice.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, appreciate that.
You like that one.
Yeah, but if they're like, I loved your Overwatch character overviews. Like, so the beta, all right, gotcha.
60-second reviews, those.
Yeah, those are my, when are they coming back? When are they coming back?
I love your montages, too.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, thank you, though, Blue Hockey Player, and everybody else who does support this podcast.
7 stars, apparently. I don't know when we upgrade to 8. I don't know if that's an XP kind of thing.
Some people are, I'm hearing rumors we might be 10. Maybe a 10-star. I don't know.
That's my favorite number.
That's maybe a little ambitious.
That's double digits, too.
I mean, if anyone is up to it, though, I think that's us.
I think so, too.
And I do
appreciate...
Probably
going to not skip weeks again, though, because we're on our way to being demoted to 6 stars.
Hey, Blue, stop.
The stonks?
No, stonks are up.
No.
Stonks are up.
After last week, everyone's like, sell. Sell, get out. This is volatile.
Martha Stewart gave me a call. Throw them out. She's got all the info.
But speaking of our supporters, the producers helping us out over on Patreon, a big thank you.
The Stag Omega.
Yes, we of course have our legends, but then also big shout out to Blake Russell, Brandon Smith, Divic Fox, Dev Hollow, GP Hash, Jaden Blanche, Maria Brenius, N7 Falco, Sean, and Thorn Lisinski for the support. And for the
guys.
Support on the Alien Podcast.
What number is this? 16? 17?
No, I think you made a joke about Sweet 16 last
time.
Oh,
so we're 17.
Mm.
Or are we legal? Are we 18 now?
No, we're not. We're
okay,
not
we're
yet.
Still jail. Yeah, no, we're still bait.
We're still bait.
Okay.
We're still jail bait.
Hold on until next episode, everybody. Yeah. That's
I know you want to, but.
That's when the bathwater tear drops.
I kind of also wanted to decorate the office in some Christmas attire.
Dude, you would never take it down. It would be Christmas in here all the time.
Cool. Yeah.
No, it wouldn't be cool. You had your Christmas tree up in your... They just set up their new Christmas tree, and I was like, oh, wow, the Christmas tree is up. I can't wait till you guys buy a new house and take that one down.
Hey, listen, dude, here's how it works. You have a Christmas tree up in anticipation for Christmas. Christmas leaves, and then you just have it up early for the next one.
It's not early. You just are procrastinating, and you just should take
maybe
it back.
I like the ambiance. It's homey.
It's very
comforting.
Homey.
It's so festive.
I do like the tree, though, you guys owned.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you do you keep your tree up all the time, Blue?
I don't get a tree.
Oh, I don't either. I mean, my parents do.
But you said it's festive. Are you like Scrooge?
Oh, no. I love the aesthetic, but I don't get a tree.
The
humbug.
Aesthetic. And you know
what
if it's coming from
humbug?
Blue.
I love the aesthetic. I love Christmas time for the most part. Sometimes the aesthetic is nice and sick. And when you go in someone's home and they have all the all the nice little wreaths and the tree and all the ornaments, it's like, oh, this is dope. But
I just got a problem with Christmas stuff when people celebrate like before Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? That was sweet. That was the
I don't really have room to get a tree is what I'm trying to say.
Well, so. you can get a small one. Mini one.
Okay, but at that point, if you don't go big or go home with Christmas, then you might as well not even do it.
Whatever, man. I just like the lights and stuff. It makes me feel
well. You're
warm
what?
And fuzzy.
You're 5 days into December.
Hey,
we still have no decorations.
Hey, but listen, once the Christmas songs start coming on, it's like you start jamming out.
They've been out for like 3 weeks now. You're trying my moves.
Yeah, except I'm tired of Elf. I'm gonna say it. I think it's one of the more overrated.
My stepbrother loves that movie.
People keep trying to push it as a classic, but like,
yeah,
you're just,
it's not as bad as people trying to push Die Hard.
If you ask my stepbrother,
that's,
my stepmom.
God. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
It's not even a good movie.
Look, at least Elf is straight up Christmas. Hey, but look, I mean, I understand that people enjoy it, watching it during Christmas, but people are like die on the hill that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Just because it takes place during Christmas.
It just takes place on Christmas. It doesn't, no.
He's not like, I saved this for Christmas.
Yeah. Like, Santa comes out, ho, 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 thank you very much.
Thanks, Bruce Willis.
Yeah. You saved us all. And with that, though, before we get too far off in the one episode, we're trying to...
actually have a topic.
Yeah. Well, you don't need to specifically stay on one thing, just in the broad topic of extraterrestrial or alien.
Ooh.
Yeah, whatever that has to do, so...
I mean, that was more of a ghost sound.
We know some of you did your homework. We appreciate that.
And that's also why we took a week off. So for the people that didn't do their homework.
Yeah. Somebody's like, oh, it's like you showed up and like the test was moved to the next day. Like, oh, thank God. Like, oh, I totally forgot about that. So there are some people that did the homework. There's some people who had some time. Some people probably crammed it right before. And then there are others who are just like, yeah, miss me with that. Understandable. I'll be doing a little synopsis. But if you did watch it, you'll have a better idea. The entire podcast won't be talking about. And what we're mentioning is the Bob Lazar podcast with Joe Rogan.
We saw you in the comments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw you. They're like, hey, who's here doing the GG Easy homework? And we're like, those are our stands.
Mm-hmm. And then Joe Rogan like responded and was like, who? What podcast?
Yeah, let's get them on.
They seem cool.
Yeah, no. That didn't happen. But some people did that. We'll do a short synopsis. But overall, we'll be talking about all things.
Yeah, I got to pull out my notes.
Yes.
Scroll. Christian has a phone. I have my scroll.
Yeah, so I did some take some notes. And we'll start with this whole Bob Lazar nonsense. And I have a few notes that I might visit, or if we need to discuss like a couple facts, because some of the names and stuff I lost sight of.
Mm-hmm.
But, and by the way, I haven't... Rob and Blue hadn't listened to it before I told them to for this podcast.
I had like listened to the moments or like the clips that Joe Rogan has. That's the only thing I've seen of it. Like,
so
just those moments.
This was more or less their first reaction to it as well. And I haven't talked to them about it yet. So mm-hmm. I don't know what they think or where they stand. That's what we'll be discussing today. But for the most part, Bob Lazar is a guy, pretty smart guy, apparently, who worked at Los Alamos for a while, which is like some... tech labs.
Yeah, it was like he was like I made my a Honda Civic into a turbo rocket.
is that what he sounds like?
Something like, yeah, I mean, come on, like, yeah, if you're a rocket, like, yeah. But I mean, if you're saying you have a turbo rocket in your thing and that's how you got the job,
I pulled it up, so there actually is proof.
Okay. Yes.
LA man joins the jet set at 200 miles an hour, and it's a picture of Bob Lazar with his
he makes
a car
like a rocket.
Yeah,
basically.
So essentially what happened was this got noticed, and at the same time he was working there, he was able to take some time off or something to go to a speaking or a guest speaker that had come. And I can't remember the name for the life of me, which I should, but it's the father of the atomic bomb. That was the guy that figured out like the
Sir
whole
Isaac
hydrogen
Newton
thing or whatever. No. He was long dead.
King Calorie.
King Calorie. But essentially, so this guy noticed it, and like they talked, whatever. He's like, hey, you're this guy in the front of the newspaper. So blah, blah, blah. He made connection with the dude. Fast forward when, I don't know what the official name was at that time, but essentially the Area 51.
The fuzz.
Which back then wasn't really like known as Area 51. And it wasn't like the same thing it is today.
Yeah.
But they reached out essentially about like this special opportunity he could do. And he needed some references, whatever reference that guy he met.
Now, this is like the man, like the government saying, like, yo, like.
And this is like early or mid 80s, mid to late 80s. Sends his in, blah, blah, blah. Point is, he gets a job at SR4, which is a division on the base in Nevada of Area 51 or whatever you call it. Apparently, Area 51 is just one of the places.
Yeah, it's like a subdivision.
Base.
I
yeah,
wrote that too. I said Area S4, not
subdivision.
Area 51.
Yeah, not.
Yeah.
They wanted to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
So he worked at SR4. And what he was brought on to do was work with propulsion systems, because power and propulsion specifically is what they called his division. He went in, got briefed, didn't believe much of what he was reading, thought it was like a trick. They were trying to throw him off because what he was reading was science fiction, for the most part. He's reading these briefings first day, and he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Didn't really believe most of them. Figured it was like, as he mentioned, they do this sometimes. They'll put in false information here and there, because if you leak it,
yeah, they'll know
and there's
where
a detail.
Came
from. Yeah, they're like, oh, we told so-and-so that. That's not true, but now we know where the leak came
so
from.
So we're going to murder you.
Yeah. So he figured, all right, yeah, like, I don't believe really any of this, until he goes in on the day. Whatever you'd want to call it.
I mean, your
alien
first day.
Day.
His first day.
Independence Day, probably.
A day.
A day.
It was a Tuesday.
He goes in, and he tries to describe what exactly he saw and worked on for the unknown amount of time he was there. It wasn't like a long stint. but long enough that he worked there. And he called it an anti-gravity / gravity hemisphere object, the way he would describe it.
Now, hemisphere, does he mean like it's a sphere? Or was he saying like it's kind of like the cliche, like kind of bottom of like this kind of like shape? You know what
like
I mean?
Like if you cut.
I mean, he doesn't really go into like incredible detail of
the object itself.
There's only so much you can really describe of something that you've never seen before.
Yeah. So the main takeaways was it created its own gravitational force, which at the time and as of now we still can't do. We can't
It would create like a gravity.
Yeah.
Which means like this, like if this cup could create gravity.
I mean, that cup technically has a gravitational force.
But it's not strong enough to pull my phone. Right?
It's all dependent on mass.
And he's saying like this thing would.
Well, so what he was saying is actually the opposite. It didn't pull you in, pushed you away.
Oh, that's right. You couldn't like touch it.
And he pretty much talked about it like when you have two of the same magnetic poles and you try to put them together can't quite. That's how he said it felt like, because he put his hand, he tried to touch it, and he couldn't get past this anti-gravitational barrier, whatever it was emitting. And essentially, what this object did was it was so powerful, and unknown to them how it was doing it, it was creating its own gravitational force, which we still don't know how to do. For us, it's just a matter of mass. Get up enough mass, and that has a gravitational force.
Okay, a little off topic here. If that is a real thing, you can't tell me we can't print coal. Next.
Oh my God. Okay, so I'm serious. For one, I guess we'll get into the discussion of it more. There's a lot of laws of physics that breaks immediately, which we can't really go too deep into it. But point is, Rob,
you can do that.
That still doesn't exist to us. So no, we cannot print coal.
That
yet.
Still doesn't have to.
If this is real, you can do that. But here's my thing too. Like, okay, so in my notes,
let me just explain the story, and then we'll come back and touch on it. Right? So it comes in. There's this extraordinary object, and this is kind of where everything starts from. He talks about he has one partner. I don't remember his name.
What do you name him?
No, not Bob. He's Bob. No, Jeremy's the crazy dude he was with.
Oh, partner. I immediately wanted to start talking about Barry.
Yeah, y'all, Jeremy, we'll talk about that.
That guy sucks.
Yeah, Barry, I believe that was the name of his partner, his co-op in crime or whatever you want to call him.
Co-professor.
And he was the guy that was like, yo, Bob, check this out, this thing's crazy. Bob's like, what in the world? And it should also be noted on the way in on this first day when he was going to go find this power and propulsion system, he also redocuments how he saw these saucers or UFOs at the time. And he figured he saw them and they had like American flags like pinned on them or whatever. And he's like, oh, like... So this whole time, they're actually just our ships.
Advanced, like, spacecrafts or something like
that. Yeah, or maybe, like prototypes or whatever. Yeah. So he's like, whatever. Goes in, finds this, and they can't make any sense out of it. The only thing they've been able to do is figure out how to activate it, how to, like, turn it on. But, like, really aside from that, whatever catalyst, they have no idea anything else about it. And so he was brought in to try and figure out if they can reverse engineer this. That was the whole entire part and point of him going to SR4 with this power and propulsion system was, can he reverse engineer this?
Yeah.
Can we figure out how it works? And then can we recreate it?
Yeah.
Because if this is true, I mean, like he talks about too, it's literally stuff of science fiction, which science fiction eventually becomes science fact at some point. Like he brings up like 100 years ago, like our phone was science fiction. Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, right. So,
but he's saying this is like if he like compares it to like if I took like a nuclear like bomb or like nuclear something and dropped it in like the 1400s,
like a Victorian era. That's the metaphor he likes to use. He's like, assume you take a nuke and you just go here to like, so people in the Victorian era. They're gonna, they might be able to figure out, like he says, like tinker with some things. Or he also like explains, like, imagine you put a motorcycle with the keys in the ignition in that era or whatever, or even farther behind. Eventually, they're going to figure out we can turn it and turn it on.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you know anything else about it. Doesn't mean you know how to use it.
I know how to set off the bomb.
Yeah.
Well, and like, that's what like what Bob says too, is like that's why he starts like not liking what he's doing, because then he starts getting like scared, because he's like, well, if you drop like them, like a radiation is a thing, and if they were dissecting that, they would all die of radiation poisoning. And he's like, and that could like is something that could happen with like this reactor. We have no idea what this thing is.
Yeah. So obviously some factors there. Hopefully he had some good insurance. I'm sure they had to have benefits of some sort, right?
Dental.
But he says this used energy and converted to heat. And so this whole entire time he's working on this object. And this is where it all spans from. And at first, there wasn't really anything wrong with it or anything. But then it was one of these days, he eventually goes in and he gets a couple days to look at the craft that apparently uses this power and propulsion system to work or whatever it is.
Yeah.
He goes inside the craft, mentions, he describes kind of what it looks like. I believe his was kind of rippled or something. But for the most part, kind of like a saucer. Go in, really small.
Yeah, he didn't say it was very tall.
Yeah, like, three levels. Not enough room to stand in. And it was pretty much barren. No,
did he say there were like little mini chairs?
Yeah, there was. There's no angles or corners.
Yeah,
it was all
just like
rounded. He said it's either a ceramic or some sort of like a sheet metal. And the only thing in the ship, or at least in what they believe to be like the hull or whatever, where
yeah.
these things would be, were essentially like three
just
seats almost. A center console device that didn't really have anything. I believe that's what he said the propulsion system would sit in or where it was housed.
Something.
And there was a screen that could become translucent. You could see out of like a
yeah, like it would like take
glass
away,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we have that. Like he mentioned, mm-hmm. clouded glass.
Joe Rogan's like, whoa.
Yeah, you just electrons. You just activate some electrons and not. And that's you see that in bathrooms and stuff sometimes. Really expensive, but so we have that kind of technology. But he goes and sees this, and then this is when it's like things start to get weird and it doesn't really make sense. And then they show him one day the craft lifting off and lifted off nearly silently so they could like hover. It didn't let off energy in the form of heat, which is what we normally know as like
an
for
engine,
us.
Yes.
Yeah, if you create some sort of combustion like that or whatever, like
we have to heat up gas to go.
Yeah.
Right.
Heat is usually
I think
a product of energy. Yeah. When you have more energy or whatever. So he goes on to say all about this stuff. And this is where it all starts. And he's doing this, feeling a little weird about it. But then he also starts to get ghosted, essentially, by the government. Because he would go on for a couple days and, like, off, on, off. He'd just get calls at night, like, yo, come in. He'd work there for a stint, go back. He lived somewhere in Nevada with his family. But essentially, the government had his whole house bugged and figured out that his wife was cheating on him. And part of the government, or like these secret divisions and stuff, is make sure
that you're sane.
Yeah, like, you're sane. You have your life is stable outside of work.
Yeah,
which includes your house
relationships.
Life.
Yeah,
yeah. And so obviously this could be a strain, and so they don't know how this could impact him. But they haven't told him this.
Big brother's listening.
Yeah, but he's just kind of not being clued in and stuff. So while all this is going on, he starts to get spooked, and he thinks he's like being followed and stuff. So he's like, you know what? Just be safe. Like. I'm going to tell some of my friends like what's going on or whatever. So he tells some of his friends when they're doing test flights, which they're doing them like Wednesday night over in yeah. certain mountains near the base because, like, I guess at that time there's like the least amount of cars anywhere visible. And at that time they hadn't bought as much land. So it wasn't as close or it was closer to where you could get right now, but there are like highways and stuff near. But they said that was like the least amount of people that would ever be out during the week. They do it at a certain time at night. They'd send it out. Sometimes it was more, I don't know the word he said, but like stressful tests.
Mm-hmm.
Some were like high performance tests and others were just kind of like find thing around.
Like, and then like he was saying that like you can't really record it at like, cause what, this was like the 80s. So I like with
and
a camera
night,
like that, it would literally just be like kind of looking at
yeah,
a light.
Yeah. Like a light moving.
Yeah. It wouldn't look like anything.
Cause it was so dark as well. But he brings some friends out there. And they all account that, you know, at the time he said there would be this thing happening. It was there. They all saw this same thing, whatever it was. And so he did this a few times before he finally got caught. And they're like, Bob, yo, this is what up. Your wife's cheating on you, blah, blah, blah. Like, this ain't looking good for you. We'll let you know what happens next. So he's not doing anything. And at this point, he's super scared. Like, great, I just got caught. I have no idea what's going to happen. So he contacts a reporter that he'd heard about, George Knapp. Somewhere around the Vegas area, I believe, who he goes on the record with and is pretty much like, yo, this is who I am. This is what's happening just in case, blah, blah, blah. Sets the record straight with him. Eventually, they actually air Bob's story, 5 o'clock news, in Vegas when Bob was kind of like, I don't really want to, like last second.
Yeah.
And then George like, no, we're airing this. They aired it. And then the government called him and like his boss, whatever, and essentially apparently told him, you have no idea what we're going to do to you now. Or like, do you have any idea what we're going to do to you now? And that was the last he ever heard of him. So a little manca, but essentially throughout his whole life. And if you want more detail, again, go listen to that podcast. But he gets recruited and goes into this project, secret project for SR4, the government, working on this alien technology. He's working on propulsion and power on this thing. And there are an unknown amount of other devices and technology and ships that apparently they have. And everybody's working on different subsects.
Yeah, other teams are like working on
it. Yeah, but they can't really share information. So he doesn't claim to know or talk about anything he does know. He only talks about what he experienced and what he worked on. Goes through, sees this stuff, which essentially he's claiming and accounting like, this is how I know this stuff exists. Goes through. He has some points. Some people have some counterpoints. One of them being element, what was it? 115?
115. Element 115. I have it in my notes.
Yes. Element 115. So for those unaware, essentially when he was working on this power and propulsion system, they identified an element that they didn't exist as we knew it yet, which they called element 115. And element 115 went on, I forget when, but it was early 2000s or something.
Yeah, it was like mid-2000s.
Some people were working with like mini hydrogen colliders or something.
These elements, it's like the elements that are like found like below like the normal kind of elements. It's like elements that can last like 5 seconds naturally before
they barely were able to create it.
Yeah.
But they found and identified this element 115, which was exactly how Bob had described it back when in the 80s or whatever, when he supposedly worked on this. So for instance, that was one of the points he goes to say like, you know, I'm not exactly crazy.
But his producer wants you to know that's a great placeholder.
We'll talk about it. he also goes on. So an interesting part too is like he had his life messed with and sort of some of it redacted literally by the government. Supposedly they went back and that was kind of part of what they supposedly did to him, because the idea is since he's a public figure or something, like there's less damage they can do and they can't just like whack him, you know?
Yeah.
It's too late. So instead they go back and his education has disappeared, which says he's never gone anywhere for education, although he claims and has some proof, I guess, that he did go to Caltech and MIT, graduated.
Oh, wow.
There's no record of his employment at Los Alamos, which is where that newspaper thing happened and he got recruited in SR4. However, George Knapp, the reporter, did find a list of a 1982 phone booth directory of employees from the past, and Bob Lazar was on it. So there's like that proof and the proof like that newspaper cutout. Like that's still there in the record of him, like with his old jet car. So shows that, but everything else shows that he never worked there. Nothing like that. Hmm. His birth certificate has disappeared, no longer exists.
How do you like apply for like a loan then? Or like, I guess you don't pay taxes then.
That's very nice.
Right?
So essentially though, he was just seeing like part of his life literally just disappear before him. And so that's part of the conspiracy theory. Some people say, yeah, Bob, you're crazy. You never did these things. Others are like, no, that's proof that they messed with him. And obviously there's proof that like, no, some of this did happen. So, you know, you can decide what you believe there.
It's
another one,
debatable topic.
Yeah.
Cause it's just so such a split, on like what people believe and what they don't believe, especially with Bob Lazar. So
yeah,
it's going to be,
cause yeah, you have to hear from, Bob himself. Another one of his points that like kind of shows proof was there was a device in the 80s that he had to use before fingerprint scanning and biometrics were really a thing. There's a picture of a hand on a glass plate and you put your hand on that. There's a sensor below it and a light above it. And essentially the light was so bright, it would go through your hand and show your bones and it would measure your bones. And apparently like bone length in your fingers is very unique. This is before like fingerprints and stuff. So this is how they would identify you. It would identify you and then your badge would come out. You get access and you go inside. And he said this thing, and people are like, no, it doesn't exist. There's no such thing. Records have been shown, and now it didn't last for very long, but it was found to be true. Also used in other secret divisions around the same time, and they found a security guy that worked or did maintenance on those things back in the day that they've had like go on the record. So just another thing pointing to like, how would he know that? And those existed, and people were like, no, you're crazy. So that was Bob, but during the podcast, beside him was Jeremy Corbell, who was the, I mean, he's God, like, yeah, he Jeremy. Calls him the UFO, he calls himself the UFO guy.
My favorite.
And he directed, I think, the documentary.
The best part is like, he's like talking like this, and Joe's like, hey, put the mic in your mouth. And he's like, oh, yes.
Yeah, he's like, right.
So funny.
But the problem I had with Jeremy is I think he hurt the thing more than anything, because 100%. Jeremy, yeah, he sounds like he's nuts and he's trying to convince you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Bob just like, it's these are facts. Just the facts. Yeah, he's like, this is just what I saw. He's not like trying to sit and be like, no, you got to believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy's like, listen. And the thing too is he would just go on these weird tangents, like out of nowhere. And like Joe would have to be like 10 minutes. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, what? He's just like, and so that's why these papers, we come through and I'm just like,
how
Jeremy,
did we get
shut
here?
Up. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, what?
Can I go back to talking to fucking to Bob? Can I do that?
Yeah, but I have a headache. Like, ow. Hey, I get a migraine. Like, come on. Like, you could tell.
Come on.
I literally write that in there. I go, oh, he's got a headache now.
It's the migraine.
Oh, he can't remember. Because Joe goes, so what's it like in there? And he goes,
Yeah, that threw me off for sure, but not nearly as much as Jeremy.
And then, and then Jeremy's like, Bob has to like remember. But like that, it was a good placeholder. I'm like, Jesus, of course.
Just like, if you've heard of my film that we did on this, we actually like,
Well, that's probably why they went on, was to publicize it.
Yeah,
get some publicity on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that, in a nutshell, was the Bob Lazar story.
Yeah.
He goes through, I mean, there's some smaller things, but the point is, he claims he saw this crazy device, no idea how it worked. The government is quiet about it, UFOs. And not necessarily just objects he's never seen before that match descriptions perhaps we've seen or heard of previously. The government's like, yo, what you doing, bruh? Like, cuts him out. He's just like, you don't exist, or at least this part of your life doesn't exist. And now he's like, hey, does anyone want to believe me? And here are some ways that I can prove that what I'm saying isn't crazy.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the story.
It was a cool listen. I enjoyed it.
So with that, again, I haven't talked to Rob or Blue about it.
No.
So before we get into specifics and talk things, just from the get-go's initial reactions, Rob, what'd you think and what side you want?
Well, I'll explain to you what side I'm on after this ad read.
Hey, stay tuned.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that, and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Ever tried to break a bad habit and felt like you're climbing Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, we've all been there too. But here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up, it's about switching it up. Fume takes your bad habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that just that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. I love how this thing looks. It's beautiful and real wood. The shape of it is so cool, and I look cool using it. So if you want to be like me and break your bad habit, start the year off right with the good habit by trying fume.com/GG and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off whenever they use the code GG to help make starting the good habit that much easier. So make sure you guys check it out in the description. Try fume.com/GG.
Welcome back to the Alien GG Over Easy podcast. Rob's nomming on some M&Ms right now. We're just about to get his impressions and, so to speak, what side he's on, if there are sides to take. Rob, hit us with it.
It's not... Okay, so, like, he seems like a credible dude. And, you know, and... It's just so hard for me to just believe anybody, like, I'm, because I need to see it to believe it. But then again, like, I've seen it. So, like, I know I have seen aliens.
And like, and for those, because you did mention it in the previous podcast, but for those maybe who don't know what you're talking about, what is this experience?
Okay, I was in Lake Powell. I'll give you guys like a TLDR. I was at Lake Powell with a bunch of friends. And Lake Powell, you can like see every kind of star. You can even see like satellites moving and stuff. And it's really cool. And we were looking at it. I was like,
you just think those are satellites.
Well, it's weird because it makes me sound crazy. I know how Bob feels in that kind of regard.
Do you have
like
a headache right now?
My head. So like, we're on the deck. And we're like, oh, look at that satellite. And I'm not kidding you, dude. It comes down. Like, I just remember seeing a light, and it almost felt like a helicopter or something like that. But it didn't make a sound. It didn't make anything. It went whoop, light, gone, zoom. No sound, no anything, dude. And I'll never forget that. And everybody was like, what the hell was that?
You know how he described the ship and how it moved?
And it moved like
no
that.
No sound as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, it moved like that. Yeah. So it's not that like I don't believe Bob, but there's some things I do.
I mean, there might be some parts of it, but like you don't have to say you believe everything he said.
Like, here's my thing. When he got the job, right, the government is like, yo, he made his car a rocket. That's cool. How does that qualify him to do anything more than just making rockets, back engineering something? Well, go and get somebody from like MIT or somebody.
So the way he described this is, he wasn't the first to work on this. He wasn't the last. There have been people before him. And the way he describes it was like, they must have been desperate because, like, propulsion systems. I mean, what did he just do? He just figured out how to put a jet and make his car work. And so he also went to supposedly Caltech, MIT, has some sort of degree or something in this field. He'd been doing something at Los Alamos, you know, so whatever. So those were some of his credentials. And then the backing or whatever, the letter of recommendation from that one guy was kind of, I guess, what set it over. But the way he described it was like, more or less what they do is they like bring it out. They're like, has technology come far enough? Can we make any more progress now? All right, put it back in for like 3-4 years. Maybe we'll try it again and bring it back out, get some new people or something. So the way he tried to describe it was that they might have been just a little bit desperate or something, needed some like outside perspective. And I'm just trying to tell you what he said.
So I just think it's like just kind of a way to like get around that. Cause I just, where there's so like you're the United States government, like I think like using somebody, an outside source who's not like a smart person. No, that's like the worst thing you could do. I don't think the government's that dumb to pick somebody just kind of rando in a newspaper. And then I have in this, I like how I write my notes. I write, lol, do you get a letter or like, how do you get like recommended? Like, how did the government like send him like, yo, we're interested in you? Was it like Hogwarts and they just have letters flying everywhere? I was just really curious.
It's actually a UFO that brings the
letter. And then I also write this, if this dude is like really doing this, like why doesn't the government kill them? But then like you think like he's kind of a high profile at this point.
Well,
and
back then the thing too is like, not only had he told all his friends, who knew, and some non-friends, as well as a reporter, and then it aired on news. They're gonna be like, the day after, yeah, remember that story about that alien guy? Yeah, it turns out he's dead, you know. Like, that's a little strange.
And then I write like a quote that Joe says like in the podcast. He goes, When did things get weird? I'm just like, I love Joe Rogan. Like, what a question. Like, so when did things get weird? So, and then I said, like, he came into a building. It's like on the side of a mountain. Hangar doors open. Disc with an American flag. Thought it was like an advanced fighter. And then he doesn't like say if they like shot these things down, because he said like some of them looked like they had damage on them, but the one they had didn't.
We should mention, yeah, those ships. Specifically the one he saw. He was only briefed on that one, I believe.
Yeah, but there was like other teams.
It came from the Zeta Reticula region or something like that. Which is like, it's like some star system, like way far out.
But
there.
Then he's like, I'm wondering if they told me that. So if I did leak it, they yeah. would know. And so they told me that system.
They never explained to him how
they knew that.
Yeah. So for all we know, that was like false information. But they claim it's from the Zeta Reticulum mm-hmm. or Reticula, whatever it was. You know? Yeah. But that was a thing you mentioned.
Yeah, and then I say Barry, and then in parentheses, my ass. My ass, Barry. Like, I don't know. And then I said, and him work on a reactor and thought it was not human tech. And then I say, we can't produce gravity? Question mark?
No.
Why not?
Not right now.
Now, but you're saying produce gravity in what? The sense of pushing it, us back, but we can produce it. You know what I mean?
We can't just.
Can't do either of those?
So everything has, right, we have planets, they're so big, they have their own gravitational pull.
Yeah, your mama's so fat, she got her own gravitational pull.
We haven't been able to properly, we can't do that, because the reason they have these pulls is because they have so much mass.
And it's like, how do they put that mass into a reactor?
See, the problem is, that's exactly, there's no way, or at least we haven't figured it out, to make something that can create its own gravitational push or pull that isn't planet-sized.
That's the trick. It's like, what, to our knowledge of what we know, nothing like that's possible. And to the point of, I think Blue like briefly mentioned it earlier, it's like, we have no idea. Like, there's no way to do that. Like, that breaks laws, science that we know.
Yeah.
However, they're only scientific facts until we find something that makes them not true.
Where were you guys saying this when I've talked about 3D printing coal? Where was this discussion?
You're right. Maybe one day that'll change. And you know, I will eat my words. I will eat them. We'll make a big display out of it. But the point is, like, you know, we used to think we were the center of the solar system, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's always stuff like we just don't know until we know it.
Mm-hmm.
So this could very well be a thing. It's just like he mentioned, like, we aren't there yet. Mm-hmm. We don't know what that is. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know how to make it. But same way that, you know, 100 years ago, we didn't know X or Y. 1,000 years ago, we knew next to nothing.
Yeah.
So that's my argument. It's like,
who knows?
Like, yeah.
All like, the laws and everything that we know now are just stuff that it's scientific guesses, basically.
Well, as far as scientific facts goes, there are currently no ways to, there are no rebuttals for it. There's no way you can disprove it.
Yeah.
That's essentially a scientific fact. It's not like we know this for sure. It's just there's nothing that says otherwise. And yeah. we've tested it so many times.
With the scientific method.
Leading up to now that we have, you know, extensively gone over and tested and,
yeah, and like,
dissected leads to the like this outcome that we have right now, which is...
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're saying. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, that's...
So that's just like, yeah, when it comes down to it having its own gravitational force or rather push or whatever, it's creating this gravity. We don't know how that works right now, but again, maybe that's something that we just... The other thing he brings up too is some of this material that's whatever is in the system or something. Mm-hmm. Let's say it is aliens on another planet in some universe, whatever. The way he mentioned it too is like not every species, so to speak, would follow the same evolutional line that we do. You know, like Stone Age,
Bronze Age.
Yeah, like going through all the ages, right? For all we know, they're on this planet, and that's the first, like he mentioned, like that's the first thing they find.
Yeah.
So that's just where they started. And for us, maybe it's not even
the
available.
Stone wheel, baby.
Yeah, it's like it's not even available to us, or we don't know how to even work
fire.
With it. Yeah, exactly. So there's, for them, that's maybe where they started, so to speak, if this are people in a mm-hmm. different world or whatever. So yeah, some of it is just like, we don't know. We don't even know what it is. We don't know where it came from. And so it's just,
I think it's those variables.
An atomic bomb in a Victorian age.
Yeah. It's those variables that you could argue either way. Someone could be like, well, that's proof that isn't. And then you could argue, well, that's proof that it is. Either way, I think you can't really get anywhere in those arguments because it's like, we don't know. It's just a question mark.
Well, and then one thing that he said that I didn't really get to is like, he said they had 9 crafts and they were all different from each other. Why are they all different, dude? If they're aliens, like you would think they would be pretty, like they would just know what to make.
And think about it this way.
It would always just be the same.
Why do we have different car models?
Well, because we're capitalistic.
Think about not even necessarily cars. Think about different planes, right? We have small, big, wide, thin, long. Each accomplishes a separate thing. So the way he didn't know, and this is just a guess, but like maybe each one is supposed to fulfill a different role, yeah. Right? Or maybe
he said they look different, and just they had like all the doors open one day just randomly, I guess.
And I mean, for all we know, technically all 9 of those ships maybe came from a different Zeta Reticula, you know.
Whoa.
So we don't know that those all came from the same spot too. Yeah. Really know.
Well, and then he talks about like how excitement like turned to dread, and then like, and in my notes I wrote, "Oh God, he has a headache." And then, then like some star system after he has time to think about. Oh yeah, and then that's what happens. He goes, "What was the star system?" He goes, "Oh gosh, jolly gee, this headache, ow." And then like Jordan or whatever that dude's name is like, penis. And then like, and then Bob's like, "Oh, it's the reticular system." And he's like, "Oh, really?" And I'm like, "Oh, of course."
So when did it get
like
weird?
Now that you have, yeah. So like now that you have the time to think about it, now you can name it SMH. That's literally what I wrote.
Fair enough.
Then I said like, why would they put that? But then it like makes sense. Cause then I said, I feel like the government would say it came from fucking space. Like how yeah. would they know like where specifically in space that came from? But then again, dude, I'm just a pleb. I'm not Big Brother. I don't know what we're technically really capable of. I'm just a minnow. And then, I wrote, how the fuck do you turn it on? Cause he's like, the only thing we figured out is how to turn it on. And then he doesn't really explain how you turned it on. He just says you turn it on. And
I think he mentioned something
over a little
about
bit.
Yeah.
He talked about how it was
the specifics.
Specifically with the reactor, how the reactor was load sensing and how
yeah.
I don't think
the metaphor was like
I wouldn't have been able to explain it either, but
yeah, the metaphor was those were the keys in the ignition. They figured out how to turn the keys and that's it. They don't really know why.
Yeah,
like they don't know why that turns it on. They don't know how any of that stuff works. He just said that's all they know.
He pretty much said it was literally as simple as if there was this in the vicinity of it, it would essentially turn on just because for some reason you put these specific things together, it acted like an electrical sensor. So does it make any sense? Probably not. But that's how they figured out how to turn the thing on.
I was really hard on Bob on my notes. I was really hard on him. I should have cut him some slack. I wrote, "Whoa, you're saying the inside the ship is otherworldly, Bob? When it came from another world, weird, man. What a great way to describe that." And I was like, "Yeesh, Bob. Maybe I should be a little nicer on him." He says it's 52 feet. That's not very. I mean, he said like a radius, right? Like
yeah.
like a 52. How like. Is that like, could that fit in your living room? Like, what are we talking here?
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Well, he also explained that like 3 floors. They didn't know the specifics for like each floor though, but like literally each floor was enough that you could move around on like hands and knees almost. You can't stand.
Yeah. Oh, and then this is another thing I wrote. Like, so he said he was like supposed to just pretty much like work on the reactor, right? And then backtrack it and figure out like how this thing works and then like put it back together. And then all of a sudden they're like, Barry's like, "Yo, you want to watch this thing fucking fly, bro? Like, you want to see this thing fly?" Like,
well, so he says that also wasn't Barry's idea. That's the government. They'd only ever do like, they only ever let him see the ship, investigate it or see it when it flies. If it meant that maybe that was something they needed to know about the propulsion system. So it'd be pretty important to see how the propulsion system actually worked in the thing and made the thing work. I could see how, you know. You would need to know that. But like, as he said, nothing else. They didn't like tell him anything else unless it was strictly about like whatever your division was. They didn't tell you.
And then like I thought it was like I thought like what gave him credibility too is like he was saying like you couldn't share work with like the other scientists, and he felt like he hated that because like I would hate as a scientist you're supposed to like push the envelope and share information and that kind of thing. He said like he hated having to go through like
just slows progress.
Yeah, just slowed progress, made things stupid, and then like you don't really know if you're being told the truth over on this project. So it's like how can you put that onto your project? So like that part I like truly like believe in like lend some credibility to him. It's not that I don't believe Bob. It's just, I mean, I do believe in aliens. I'm totally like, there's no way that like Earth is just the only kind of like place in the whole entire universe that's ever expanding.
To somebody else, we're Zeta Reticula.
Yeah, I guess. But we're noobs. And then like, if you really like look at our technology, and then what kind of sucks too is like we're 25. When we're like 80 to like 85, if we get to that age, that's when it's going to be sick. That's when like all the cool things are going to be happening, and maybe
we're going to be dying.
Yeah, maybe we'll have aliens and stuff. Maybe we'll have who knows? Maybe we'll have like anti-age and stuff. Maybe we'll be able to go back to 20.
Or maybe things are terrible.
Then get me
out
of there.
We want to go back.
Get me out of there.
Back in my day.
But yeah, I mean, I believe in aliens. I don't think like listening to him made me believe more in it. But it is interesting. It was a cool story. I don't for me it's hard to take Bob away from just some crazy hippie with long hair showing what he's doing with Mr. What was lost my track of thought. His blue fell. But it didn't make me not believe in aliens. It didn't make me believe in them more. I mean, I have my own experience and I have my own kind of thing. I fucking hate this.
What'd you think while we fix you?
Yeah. While your back keeps breaking.
So, I mean, I believe in all this. I think, obviously, probably all this technology exists. It just doesn't exist on Earth. And for all we know, yeah, this element 115 does fuel this system that can pull off anti-gravity shit. For all I know, yeah, the government has possession of, you know, UFO alien, not from this galaxy, Starcraft, possibly in their possession. I don't disagree with any of that, because I honestly believe it. Because just imagine the government saying, yo, aliens exist. People would freak the fuck out. Yeah. They can't just say, yeah, so we have these cool spacecrafts that we've been working on for the past 50 years. Also, here's this alien we dissected. You
I
guys
wish we
see
could.
People are they can't just show us that. Because
that was
people freak out.
They did describe it because Joe was like, well, then why hasn't the government like been like, hey, we got this. He's like, what are they going to say? Like, we got this crazy technology. We don't know how it works. We don't know what it does. We don't know where it came from. Word.
What do right? people respond so, like, with?
Yeah. So, yeah, that was just more to your point about that whole, like, if it did exist, even if they told us, would we believe them, you know?
As far as we are in, right, as much as we know about technology and how much we've managed to accomplish
in just 10 years,
stuff like that is magic. How do you think people, as far as we've developed as a human race, thousands of years ago, we reacted to this stuff as, oh, fuck, it's magic. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. So do you really think that's going to change despite us like getting better technology now? No, people will still probably freak out.
Yeah.
But I don't. Bob Lazar himself is kind of sketchy. I don't really think. Don't fully believe.
Sketchy in what sense? Like he's sus or he's sketch? Like,
well, he's sus in that there's no proof to his claims in any way, shape, or form that he's provided himself. Like, because after the podcast, I did a lot of reading on him because it was really interesting to me, right? And at first I was like, oh my God, this dude sounds so, this sounds so sick because I love alien shit. Woke. And it's just like, oh man, this sounds awesome. I got to look more into this. And just the more and more I look into him, the more it just seems like it's a very good cover for stuff that didn't happen to him directly. There's no claims that he's made that I guess could be disproven, but he also hasn't provided stuff to directly prove that, yeah, all this stuff did happen to me. I know the government took like wiped all my stuff, and that's fair, but I think in the podcast too he couldn't even name professors from like MIT or something, which yeah, is wouldn't, like,
wouldn't how, they like, how? Go ahead. Oh, well, here's my,
I why, a ton of professors from my college days.
Why do they not treat him like Edward Snowden? Now that I think about it, like they're pretty open about why they're never like Snowden and that Snowden is away. And like they he'll never be able to come back and go to jail. Why don't they just do that with Bob? Like he's releasing like secrets.
Yeah. Well, then that would be. I mean, if that would be them admitting guilt.
Oh, like an omission.
Or like
yeah. That'd be them admitting guilt. And then the other thing,
being like
when it came to NSA, it was just straight like everything got let out in the open, and everyone knew about.
That with... wasn't. Sorry, that was more like just like here's the receipt. Whereas this is like
Snowden was literally like, hey. What up? This shit's happening. Here's a ton of receipts that are indisputable. Whereas this is more like, hey, I worked on alien spacecrafts and they exist, but there's no receipts.
Yeah. I think for me, the most credible claim he has is the Element 115 thing.
Yeah, that and Jordan wants you to know that is a placeholder.
But the thing too is you could argue he could have been working on something else. Maybe at Los Alamos or something. Like, who knows maybe where he came into contact with a 115 or maybe he didn't. Either way, that itself isn't proof that you worked on a, you know, some crazy aliens object.
What the proof that you were talking about earlier that, like, that they took, said he wasn't employed there and then you see the thing. Like, that if anything, when the government, like, does things to him, like, it shows that, like, what he's saying is kind of true. Like,
so the fact that they said he didn't work there. My issue is that providing a lack of evidence doesn't always count as evidence, right? Because Fruit could say something crazy along the lines of, God, hold on, I have to think of something crazy. I got this, hold up, give me one sec, okay.
The Easter Bunny's real.
Fruit could say something crazy along the lines of, the government wiped my entire existence when I had an entire whole nother successful YouTube career. My mind was wiped and now suddenly it's all the memories are coming back to me of my new YouTube channel, but you'll never find the old one, right? It's like, oh, it could be right. It could be wrong. Maybe he was a YouTuber 10 years ago when he was a kid, but they had to wipe him because he was too successful for some crazy shit. Just because the evidence isn't there, it doesn't mean that proves that actually happened, right?
Yeah.
It might have happened, right? That sounds crazy, and maybe it could have, right? But that's kind of like, maybe it could have, maybe it couldn't have. Ooh, crazy.
Could have also been for something else, too. Let's say the government did do it.
Mm. Yeah.
Doesn't mean it was because he's UFOs or something. Maybe all this, he worked on something else in the government that he can't talk about. He's really upset about or something. And like, this is his way of trying to, you know, who really knows? Maybe something happened in that time he talks about, but not what he says.
Now, if he doesn't have a birth certificate, like I said earlier,
could be something really boring, but he still got.
Could be something really boring.
How does he make money? How does he live? Where does he live?
I don't care.
You know, like
I don't know, and I don't care.
but if the government is truly after him and they took away all that kind of stuff, you can't. That means you can't sign up for a job. That means you can't. Like,
the government has a very good track record, especially when it comes to like espionage, of being very subtle in like how they do things, right? So like when you look at a lot of declassified things from back in the day, it's always stuff is never supposed to be done out in the open because for a lot of different reasons, especially when it came to I'm having a migraine, I'm sorry.
I'm just gonna say that forever now.
I don't know. If you look at a lot of declassified espionage crap, like it wouldn't surprise me of that's just how the government has to operate because there's a lot of things that the general population doesn't really need to know, right? Like we don't need to know about aliens. We don't need to know about we developed this atomic bomb. You guys don't need to know about that before we drop it on whoever we drop it on, right? So you guys don't need to know about
the less we know, the better.
If some dude is out in the open and talking about Area 51 stuff, right? Like, just killing that dude, that's not exactly subtle. That's not exactly...
Yeah. Whacking him.
If anything, that makes him like a martyr for... and then people are going to really be like, oh, the government really did do this. So it makes sense for them to just... Which still is like, a lack of evidence doesn't mean it actually happened. But it does make sense for them to, instead of just straight up going after this dude... It makes more sense to just stalk him for the rest of his life and erase stuff that he's done to make sure that A, he's
ruined his credibility.
Ruined his credibility. keep him in a constant state of being threatened so he never actually does reveal more than he needs to, and then obviously make it hard for him to get back to a place where he can have credibility to say all these things. Right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense. I think the one thing for me that was probably his closest thing to being proof was the hand scanner thing that you're talking about, Fruit.
Yeah.
About how he talked about the hand scanner and how it didn't make any sense because back in the day he was talking about it and everyone's like, no, you're crazy. It doesn't make sense. That would never be a thing. And then turns out it is a thing, right?
But here's also counterpoint. Again, maybe he did work at SR4. Maybe SR4 was something completely different, you know? So all this did happen. He did have to do the scanner. He did go there. He did work there. He did have something happen and the government covered it up, but we don't know what it was.
Yeah.
So again,
you can fill in the blank.
Like, that's the tough part. Like, that's kind of what Blue's saying. Like, yeah, some of these are probably true, or some of them you can be like the hand scanner. Okay, yeah, you were right about that. Element 115. Yeah, you're right about that. But that doesn't then mean, oh, okay, so this thing also exists.
Yeah.
So that just means
we're believing the things that aren't even like the alien spacecraft, all the alien stuff they saw. We believe all the other kind of like.
Well, because unfortunately, that's. The evidence he brings forward is the only stuff that is concrete, but doesn't inherently be like, and yes, here is this thing I worked on, or here are alien spacecrafts.
So do you believe him, Blue, or do you believe in aliens? Like, or
I 100% believe in aliens. I think it would be infinitely more terrifying to think that we are alone in the universe than if we weren't.
That would be freaky.
Yeah.
That would be weird.
I mean, aliens are scary, right? Aliens are fucking scary. Just thinking about something that is far more advanced than we are, but it is way scarier to think we are the only thing that is living and evolving in this universe right now.
Do you think we would
come to the extent that we are?
You know what I mean? Like, if we like the Earth, I was gonna say the USA, but we're Earth at this point.
Nope,
we're a team. If we like just Earth, hey, we send a spaceship. Yep. And then we find like a world. Would we go to that world and be like, we're going to kill everybody here? This is our world now. Yeah. Why would they do that to us? Because everyone thinks aliens are bad. I think aliens are good. I think one day aliens will help us.
Well, here's how I see it, right? Let's say these aliens are smarter and more advanced. I don't blame them if they start watching us and be like, these guys are parasites. These guys suck. Like,
guys suck.
Yeah. Like, they're ruining everything they got going for them.
Don't help them.
I mean, we're terrible, really, if you think about it, as far as like a species go.
Yeah.
We really are parasites. Our planet,
like, we're awful.
Yeah, we kill other species. Literally, we're killing off millions of species. Extinction. We're ruining the world we live on. We stay
undefeated, though.
Yeah, well.
We stay undefeated, humans.
You can't beat Mother Nature, though, so we'll see.
I'll be dead by then. Sorry, kids.
Have you guys ever watched this YouTube channel? I'm trying
Mr. Fruit, yes, I do.
I'm trying to is it Kurz Gazette or something? Kurz Gazette.
No, what is it?
It's a German word. It's a German name. Kurz.
Blitzkrieg.
Kurz Gazette. Kurz Gazette. Trust, I'm sure people in the comment section will know. I'm thinking out loud. Kurz Gazette. They did this video about how it would probably be bad if aliens found us. Because if you think about it, if aliens are already at the point where they've expanded, chances are they're looking for new planets to colonize and they're trying to expand their own existence and civilization.
Look
at our track record. We haven't had a very good track record when we do the same thing on our planet.
Like, look, for instance, you know, as a rough metaphor,
we went to the moon.
You know, we're Columbus and whatever, which technically Columbus wasn't the first to
arrive,
but yeah, whatever. So he shows up. He goes, to him, this is a new planet. He goes, this is cool. This is mine.
This is mine.
I own this.
Like, why would that be any different on a grander scale, right? So to the point of, like, if we show up, we're just going to be like, pew, 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 pew. Probably not. I think we'll have a plan in place. Like, I think it would be foolish to not have some kind of, like,
a contingency
like
plan.
A threat assessment. Yeah, like, we don't know. And I also think if we did come into contact, we wouldn't just show up and be like, saw. Like, you do some work first. Like, you figure out what you're working with.
You don't just show up on your first date like that.
No.
Yeah, you don't just show up and be like, what up, aliens? No, that's immediately going to cause
So, Blue, you're
absolute pandemonium fear.
You are under the impression that if we came into any alien contact, it would be negative. Like, it'd be bad news. Like,
I don't think it would be negative. I just think if, say, we were to come into contact with...
It's good news. We're nice.
It could be, right? It could be.
We're noobs.
If we get to the point where we start colonizing other planets, which we're kind of already trying to go in that direction.
We're coming for you, Mars.
And we start expanding where humans can survive and make sure that humanity can survive outside of one planet. We are in a mode of expansion where we are just thinking of our future, our survival. And if we do come across another planet, they could be total dumb inbred idiots, right? Nice. Would we either, based on our past encounters, we probably wouldn't do too well. We would probably kill that shit.
Like, they just have element 115 everywhere. We go, ooh, that's cool. We want that.
That's my element.
We would have to hope that the aliens that, and I agree with Fruit, if they are so far above us, chances are, hopefully they're not like us, and they think, let's just kind of like see what these guys are up to. And we're just so far below them that they're in pity of us. And they're like, yeah, you know what? We'll let them slide a little bit. You know, we'll go to the next galaxy. Maybe
that's our hopefully, best case scenario.
The reason I don't think it would be good is because we only have one sample rate. We only have one sample and it's us, and we would be fucking terrible.
Yeah.
So
you think like if we came in contact, they'd be just as terrible as we are.
If we came into contact with something that we are clearly above, we would absolutely ruin it, as we have done so many times before.
We would be the catalyst in our universe for a Thanos.
Yeah.
He'd show up and be like, Jesus, wow. Where's that gauntlet when you need it?
So I'm hoping that if aliens have come into contact with us, which I'm honestly at this point, I believe they have, or they're playing it low key. I have to hope that they're nothing like us and they're just kind of like, hey, you know what? Another more life on the planet. That's sick, dude. Let's just let them chill. We'll just watch them for a little bit.
I like South Park's interpretation of aliens and like Earth's relationship. They say aliens made Earth for like a reality show. They said that they took like every kind of animal and put it on Earth and like a bunch of different kind of aliens. And so all the aliens in the space watch Earth as a reality TV show.
Yeah, there's stuff like that. Have you heard like the simulation theories and stuff? Like, this is all just a simulation.
Like this is the Matrix kind of thing.
But like, yeah, like somebody's running a program for all we know or something, right? Or like simulating a galaxy and we're just... And well, they're watching. They're like, oh. Okay.
Well, I was listening to like Reckful talk about depression with like a Harvard professor. And he was like, well, you can like, well, for people who have depression, they're like, it's not worth it. Like, what's the fucking point? Well, he's like, well, you can treat it like a video game and like just know, hey, this is a video game and it's a simulation and I'm just trying to do well in it. And like, and some people just kind of accept that. And Reckful's like, maybe that's just what I need to do.
Try not to die.
Yeah, just be in a simulation and just accept that and just try and do the best you can. Yeah.
But everything's predetermined. Like this ad. Oh. Welcome back to the Alien GG Over Easy podcast episode. Ooh. We've gotten to hear from Rob. We've gotten to hear from Blue. Interesting takes all around. Really interesting stuff from Blue. I did appreciate your insights, like what you had to say. And I'm glad to hear. So here's the thing. When we first started, right before you weren't here, Rob, I was talking with Blue. Blue's like, this is going to be an interesting podcast. I was like, why? He's like, I'm skeptical. And I was like, that's good. I was like, we need all the sorts of viewpoints if possible. Like, you know, everybody received it differently, right?
Yeah.
My initial reactions to that podcast was like, this is sick. I was like, I don't know. There's like, that's a lot of coincidences. Mm-hmm. That's got to be this something, right? But then I break it down more. And as I've thought about it more and more, kind of like what I mentioned, like I was, for the most part, I've been trying to play devil's advocate or like, you know, show Bob's perspective as best as possible. So that, you know, he's not here, but he has a fair chance to, he said what he had to say. And I think I'm in that realm of like, there are some stuff that he says that have been proven that, yeah, like I can't really be like, okay, well, that's not true. I mean, yeah, all right. Like the newspaper article, the hand scanner, the element 115.
So before you go any deeper, can I actually debunk the hand scanner?
Yeah.
So I was talking about how the hand scanner was probably the most, I don't want to cut you off and like your most important thing.
Oh no.
when you're talking, but the hand scanner, apparently we can talk about it more after you're done, but that was the thing that kept me like kind of clinging to, oh, he's probably telling the truth as possible. Apparently the hand scanner, which is called the Identimat 2000, was apparently public knowledge as early as 1971 in Computer World magazine. And before he was even making these claims about it, there was literally the concept of that in the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I love that movie.
Yeah, what in if you just saw that movie? He's like, hey, they had this too.
So he could have even seen the movie and was like, ooh, that sounds sick. So who knows?
Yeah, see, that's a good movie.
That's a good point, Blue. So still, there are all these holes in this story. And there are some stuff that sounds cool and I want to believe. You know, some that sounds cool enough that I'm like, they're Ninja hiding seeds. This from us. Yeah, that freaking anti-gravity, that's sick. I did that UFO, that's how that works. I knew it, you know? So, like, there's some stuff, like, you want to believe or whatever. But when you sit there and you look at everything, he's saying a lot of stuff that is very circumstantial. A lot of it is not at all. It's his account. Yeah. And that's all we have. And, you know, if this was the government's plan, you know, erase some stuff, reduce his credibility. Well, it worked. Because you can't prove anything.
Well, it worked.
So, while the thing, too, I think that disarms you is, like I mentioned, Bob sounds and speaks like a guy who's just saying facts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of think he believes what he's saying. I don't know. Maybe he's just crazy, right?
Yeah.
Or he's a really good liar. Either way, as soon as I hear Jeremy speaking, I'm just like, oh,
this
God.
Is a nut.
Jeremy.
Yeah, like that. You're ruining this whole thing. Like, that's the thing that also just kind of shifts that up for me, mm-hmm. is because, like, Bob, you're like, oh, okay. He's just talking through, recounting. He has, like, some hiccups, and, like, even I was like, yeah, migraine, sure, all right. Like, that's convenient. But still, going through it, you're just so used to, like, these, like, I was out walking my dog, and they probed me, dude. You know, like,
yeah,
crazy. What's guys, the difference right? between
the... Like, who's saying that did or didn't happen? Who knows?
Yeah. But it's just that you're so used to, like, these, like, super crazy out there people, where Bob isn't so much that.
Mm-hmm.
Very grounded.
So, yeah. So that kind of, like, disarms you in a way that, you know, can maybe make you believe more in a story. And again, I can't say one way or another whether or not that actually happened.
I mean, you can't.
Exactly. But, like, I'm not going to say I think it didn't or I think it did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm honestly undecided. I'm leaning more towards, though, like, probably not. But it wouldn't surprise me if the government does have something like that. Like, that's not totally out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
But I believe they probably do, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, they got to have something. Because, like, the way, too, when we think about, like, science fiction and, like, tech and stuff, when the government releases something, right, and they show us that they have this crazy technology, right? Well, then God only knows what they have behind doors, because that's mm-hmm. what they're willing to show us.
Yeah.
Which means they're far and away above that now. And they're like, yeah, we can just throw that out.
I mean, we lost our mind when an iPhone could, like, fold, you know, like when we had a glass screen.
But... like, there's always these things like spy gadgets or stuff. Though it mentioned, like, during the Cold War, some stuff they used that people thought were, like, they literally had, I forget where I heard this, they literally had, like, a heart attack gun. And people were like, what? And they'd, like, fashion some sort of a device that would send something, like, literally mm-hmm. almost, like, cause a heart attack in somebody. Like that's like science fiction. But, no, that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're coming out and telling us.
Beforehand, too, they had prototypes of, like, stealth bombers long before they ever became, like, an actual common knowledge, like, standard thing for the military too. So they've clearly got some stuff that they're testing out back there that would be crazy to us.
If you're a senator and you're listening to this, let us in.
Show us the receipts.
Show us what you got.
I think my biggest argument against it would be aliens don't exist, because if so, Trump would have told us. I don't think he would have kept that in.
He's just like they're real.
Yeah, during the briefing, they're like, all right, Donald, you're us out of here.
Anyway, I already tweeted it.
Yeah, he's tweeting it. So, or maybe they just left that out of his briefing. I don't really know. Otherwise, here's the problem. I hope I'm never in that position, because I could not keep that secret. I couldn't. I don't think I could. I'd die on it.
I think when you're threatened with enough things, then you can keep anything secret.
If I'm the president, dude, that's got to be like, what, probably the fifth hardest thing I got to keep secret? You know?
What, like, I would do is, honestly, like, throughout all my speeches, I would start to, like, at the start of like every speech paragraph with a certain word and slowly spell
aliens
out.
Bob was right.
But anyway, that's aside from the point. So Bob has all this stuff. My favorite idea, because to me, more or less, it's still a conspiracy, and we can't say for sure either way. Just throw it in the bin, UFO conspiracies. Mm-hmm. I like to think that the more, too, I think this is, I believe this theory more than Bob's. I think it's us time traveling. I think that's much more likely. Like his metaphor of dropping a nuclear bomb in the Victorian era.
Yeah.
That's what we would do if we could time travel right now. Mm-hmm. Just fast forward far enough, and let's say we're time traveling back. Because while I do think aliens exist, I think they're out there in different forms, fashions, whether that's literally just some bacteria on a rock somewhere, you know,
mm-hmm.
Single, like super simple cell organisms or whatever, or, you know, an even more advanced society than we have, whatever that might be. And who knows, on a global scale, maybe our society and its progression is like nothing, or like they look at us like, yeah, look at that Stone Age. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So who really knows? I think they're out there, and I think I've mentioned this before. I think it's foolish to not believe, because as far as we know, we live in an infinite,
ever expanding
universe. Yeah,
so it's bigger than it was 2 seconds
even if
ago.
As people talk about like Earth and how we came to be as a species, everything on Earth is nothing short of a miracle. You know, even if it's one in a trillion, one in a gazillion, well, guess what? That's still going to happen somewhere.
Well, I mean, what? We were a star, we burnt out, and then a comet hit us, or an asteroid hit us.
Well, there a lot of the running theories are, yeah, it's something about like when the Earth was first going in, we got hit and the moon broke off.
Yeah.
Certain space elements from the rock, whatever, like,
yeah,
came off, and then those
four ice caps or something. Yeah. Go Earth.
Yeah, way to go.
Thank you, Earth.
So it was all like a crazy coincidence, but that's going to happen somewhere else. So I do believe they're out there. But I think we fall into this pit trap like we did, you know, 1,000 years ago. We're the center of the solar system. We're so caught up to thinking we're so important that, like, if they did exist, of course they're going to be here. Or, like, of course we'll know, right? Yeah. Like, I don't think we're that important.
We're not.
If all this does exist. So for me, I don't know if we've ever made contact. Or if we have, like, it would be like smarter people who are just like, yeah, leave those idiots alone, you know? Yeah. Or maybe it's a game to them, you know? Maybe they're watching. Who really knows?
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely don't think they'd be as dumb as apparently they are to be revealed or whatever, or like people see them.
That is one of the biggest reasons why it's hard for me to keep like my, like, have a suspension of disbelief for Bob Lazar, is if they are dropping technology so far ahead of us, like element 115, if these aliens that are so far ahead of us are just that way out of our clearly out of our pay grade, right? Like, we're clearly dealing with brass much higher than us. Would they be that bad to actually just drop 9 spacecrafts just in our possession?
I like to think, you know, someone, he's like, all right, take a left here. No, oh, you yeah. Just get like something really stupid happens. He's like, gosh, dang it, Jeremy. You and your crazy theories. That's like my favorite thing to think about. And that's kind of, so like, this is just a weird theory, but like, that's, I think it's more reasonable to think that it's some sort of a time travel that we will eventually figure out ourselves. And it's just technology that has fallen from, because I would, you know what, if we time traveled, I would totally believe we would mess up like, well, that.
But the problem is with time traveling is like, if we
the algorithm,
if we time traveled into 3000
videos, you're gonna make so much money. Yeah.
If we traveled into the year 3000,
don't do Sekiro, don't
stop.
Just
it's your
just
favorite, don't just, you play it, don't, yeah, upload it. If we traveled to the year 3000, okay, like, we figure out how to time travel, yay, we did it. I'm in the year 3000 now.
Yay.
Don't I already know how to time travel in the year 3000? So why isn't the year 3000 time traveling back to 2000 and just going like, here it is? You know what I mean?
So, no, look, the time travel is not that simple.
Everything we're about to say is totally, purely
hypothetical.
From movies.
Yeah, completely so, hypothetical.
See, my version of time travel is, it's one line. Like, if we discover time traveling in 2005... it's because somebody in the year 3000 came back and was like, yo, this is how you do it. You know what I mean? And then they just go back.
Wait, you're saying that everything we've ever invented was because someone has come back and be like, yo.
For all I know, maybe.
Well, yeah, we could entertain a thought like that. Well, how?
Well, at least time traveling or like the speed of light, like, or something crazy like that.
But speaking of time travel, I know this is kind of out there. Have you guys ever seen the movie Arrival?
Yes.
Is that the movie with the chick with the red hair?
Yes.
Yes. I like
Amy Adams.
Movie. Yes.
That's an amazing movie. I like to think that time travel is totally out of everything we've ever thought of. And if time travel does exist, it exists in like how the movie presents it. And like, this is spoilers for Arrival, by the way.
A dope movie.
It's an incredible movie. Please go see ignore it. Me for the next like 1 minute section.
I'll put sometimes.
Because you should absolutely watch it because it's like one of the best movies I've ever seen in my entire life. Also, Arrival is a Christmas movie to me because I always watch Arrival around the holidays. As you know me.
It is a Christmas
so,
movie.
It actually ties into this podcast really well. So, and a better movie. Anyways, point is, I like to think that if we do ever find time travel, it'll be so out of whatever we've like come up with right now. It's like, oh, we go to the past, we go to the future, one way trip, back way trip. I think it's more like Arrival, where it'd be way cooler. The movie presents it as like a fifth dimensional thing, and like we're all technically fifth dimensional beings. We just don't know how to access that normally. And with Arrival, the concept of time travel is that we ourselves are always existing in every part of time, in past, present, and future. And if we ever do find old stuff, if one day we do figure out time travel, it's not going to be about, oh, we travel back in time, we just walk through a portal. It's going to be, oh, we collect memories from our past or future to, like, we travel from one of our consciousness to another. Figure stuff out.
Well, that's like why I want it to say like my alien theory, when they come, they're going to be nice. Cause in that movie, that's what they are. They're like, it's very like mysterious, and they just kind of teach you a language on how to access your time traveling airwaves or something like that. Sick.
Sick.
Yeah. Well, the whole concept of the movie is language is how we perceive everything. And,
yeah, I think
the language that the aliens taught us was basically, now we've completely changed your perception that time is not linear. Time is just.
Now give us that nuclear bomb you have over there.
Yeah, fuck it.
That's a fair trade. Huh?
No, I think, the problem with time travel is like, a lot of it is like really what most people know is like science fiction. And that's just it. Like how Blue described, it's like, it's the same way as like how if this thing, this anti-gravity thing existed, figuring out how it would work. We just can't understand it. It doesn't make sense to us right now. We just don't have the knowledge, the wherewithal, the power, the none of that to fully understand. We might not even have the sense for it, right? Like maybe it's like one of those like the fourth or fifth dimension that we don't even know how to
access or what. Imagine.
Maybe it's around here. Maybe it's like you got to access on, but maybe there's a button somewhere, right? Like it's just something we entirely don't know. So like, space. Time travel seems easy-ish, right? Like, you go forward, then just come back. You go back, just go forward. I can't even imagine if we ever did figure out how to do it, how complicated it would be, or, like, the implications. It'd be nice if it just worked out real easy.
It'd be very fun.
But,
Avenger style.
I think that's a thing you could literally just hypothesize and riff off of forever. Like, you could always think of something new. But I like to think that that's what Bob Lazar found. And also just because of the fun theory where he's like, the ship is small, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason see...
52 feet is not small. Oh, do you mean like the cockpit of the ship?
Yeah, the interior and how you would fit, right? Talk about, it would probably have to be like these smaller beings. And the way we usually depict aliens, like small bodies, big heads. You know, why is that?
The cliche, like...
Big brain, literally.
Big brain.
Right. And the way you can actually see it somewhat... In us humans, we're less muscular. Like we just have less muscle. Our brains are bigger, right? So we're going to this thing. So for all we know, 100,000 years in the future, who knows? That's what we look like, right? Because if that's the way we're going, and we get smarter and smarter, your brain gets bigger or whatever, and then we don't have use for this kind of stuff.
It's self portrait.
It's more of a fun, just kind of like theory.
That's cool.
I like that. But yeah, that's what I like to entertain.
I like that.
Because that has about as much credibility as.
Get you on the Joe Rogan podcast. Stat.
So when did it get weird?
So when did they get weird?
It is awesome. Yeah. So I do believe in aliens. Blue mentioned how he thinks aliens have made contact with us. I'm not so sure about that. Because the tough part, too, is like for us, as far as we know in our universe, right? As far as we've been able to see, as far as we can look out with whatever technology we have, whatever telescope, anything like that, right? We can't find life yet.
Yeah.
And who knows if we're using the wrong tools. We probably don't even, for some of them, don't even know the tool to identify them yet, right? Just kind of like gamma rays and stuff. Mm-hmm. We never knew to look for that. It's always here, but we never knew how to look for it or how to identify it. Stuff like that. But my other thing that I love to think about is, I mean, we're looking at planets millions, billions years in the past.
Yeah.
So if they're on a planet we're looking at, you know, billion light years away, they're looking at us and they're like, there's no one there.
Yeah.
Because we weren't.
That's a star.
Yeah, we weren't. So that's part of the thing, too, is unless we find some way outside of that, you know, to go faster than the speed of light, which we don't know.
That's so fast.
Yeah.
Like when you break it down, it's like 250,000 miles a second.
So
something crazy.
So that's the
like
tough
that.
Thing. When I forget who said it. It might have been like Edison or somebody.
Or Robert, probably.
But he like documented or something. But anyway, he talks about when you look up at the night sky and you see the planets, it's just a graveyard. You're just looking at ghosts. Because for all we know, we're seeing these planets in the past. Some of them don't even exist anymore.
Black holes.
Some of them are gone. Some of them have evolved. Some of them, you know, collided.
Got colonized.
Who knows? Yeah. So I think that's part of the thing, too, is they're out there. I have no doubt. We just don't know where or when or any of that. Yeah. I just don't think we're there yet.
Not even close.
And I don't think anyone else... I mean, for all we know, we could be the most advanced. That is more possible, I think.
That's depressing.
Yeah, it is depressing.
So sad, right? It's so sad to think about.
But that's the thing, too, is like when we think of other life or intelligent life, we only know us. Like Blue was saying, we only have
us to go off
one,
of.
Yeah, us to go off of. So it's really hard for us to think,
comprehend.
Yeah, like, or even see or know what that would look like elsewhere. Or,
we have a singular sample right now, and that is not a very hopeful sample.
Yeah, no.
We're all right.
So we have to follow all the laws that we know and everything we can see. Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing we can quantify. And so I just think we live in an era where we're just a little too early.
Yeah.
I think we'll figure some out later, but I also don't think Earth is that special.
In our lifetime, do you think we will have alien contact?
Probably not.
I don't think so either. Blue?
Which is unlucky, but...
I don't think aliens are going to be like, yo, hey,
public. I'm saying public information.
I'm just hitting you up and just like seeing what you're up to. I think they've contacted us in subtle ways, but
yo, I turned on Venus. Do you guys know where,
do you know where the Zeta Reticula? We're trying to get back there.
Oh, Bob. I'm looking for Bob.
I don't think we're going to have direct contact with aliens for God, probably hundreds of generations. If we even last that long.
Yeah. So that's the thing too, is in the cosmic scope of things too, us as a civilization is just like the littlest blip. Like our existence as we know it is just the smallest timeline possible. So even if other people are looking for it, just like we're looking for other people, for all we know, they burn out just as
such
fast
a specific
as
timeline.
We're looking for. Yeah. Like you saw how fast in such a short time we've gone and how things like we could already be at our downfall or whatever, right? So who knows how long humanity is going to survive. And so if humanity can be so volatile, who knows what other life could look like, right?
Whoa, what if so many different civilizations have existed right next door to us, but because it's just out of reach... Maybe how the universe is set up is that no species is ever going to find each other because they're so far away, just far away enough from each other that you'll never see them because their existence is so fast that it happens and burns out.
Well, that's depressing. That'd make a good movie because like you're the one civilization that can somehow, like you're some chosen one that goes through some wormhole and sees something. You're like, oh, they're there, but you can't get them. And then the movie ends.
Yeah.
And it's still
they don't want us
itself.
Here.
Yeah. You know, but you can't do anything about it.
Well, I think we should get to our Patreon questions before anything else here. Do you have them or do you want me to do them?
I got them.
Okay.
So we wanted to keep them on par, obviously,
yes. So,
with the spoopiness of aliens. So Ian Jenkins asks, hey guys, hope you are all well.
Thanks, Ian.
You doing well? Yeah, Ian. I'm all right. Yeah, what are your favorite alien slash alien species from any movies or games? He likes aliens from the movie Evolution. They were just trying to get on life till Mulder murdered them all with head and shoulders. Poor old guys.
I've never seen Evolution.
Favorite alien or alien species?
If we're going off how they look, I guess my favorite...
There's so many.
Yeah, I know. Okay, one of my favorite alien species, you ever seen the movie Space Soldiers or Space Soldiers or something like that? I forget what it's called. But it's like the movie where like, I'm doing... Oh, Space Troopers. Space Troopers. Oh, yeah. That's what it is. They're like bugs, dude, and they look like little hornets. And they... Those things, dude, are freaky. Probably those. Those are probably my favorite because they just... They freaked me out. They made me hate aliens for a long time.
All of them.
I think aliens are okay.
Are you racist against aliens?
No. For all the aliens watching this, I would like you guys to know
how
you're not all the same.
Anti-progressive of you. That's why they haven't come down yet. They're going to hate us.
They're going to throw us all into the same category as the one from Space Troopers.
We have self-esteem issues. They're not going to like us.
They're just going to shoot us immediately.
And then Elites, too. I like Halo.
Yeah.
The Covenant, I guess, would be their name. Yeah, that would probably be mine.
Blue, what would you say?
Hey, don't judge me for this, but I'm picking this not because it's like, oh, cool aliens. I'm picking this because of the philosophy behind it. Yeah, okay, bro, look. Okay, hear me out.
That's fine. I just knew where you were going.
The Fallen. The reason I like The Fallen so much, obviously they have cool designs and stuff, but I like them so much because they're a caricature of what our humanity would look like if someday we were to just totally ruin our planet and fail, and we were to survive. What would we be doing? We'd probably be like a terrible,
desperate,
shitty race scavenging around the galaxy trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
That's why I like The Fallen so much.
I disagree.
Why do you disagree?
Because it's Destiny.
Just because it's Destiny.
Did you see that? You're the worst. Did you see that reveal stream?
That doesn't have to do with them being aliens, though.
Come on.
Well, we'll save that for later.
Come on.
I will say,
go on, Fruit. What's your favorite alien?
Skin,
I thought I would probably agree up there with Blue. There's got to be ones that handle it really well too. Like what comes to mind is like District 9.
District
9, those aliens.
I've never seen that movie out of spite because it was supposed to be the Halo movie.
It was still good.
So
though.
I never saw it out of spite.
Still a good movie though.
It was an incredible movie. I'm glad that it wasn't a Halo movie because it would probably have been terrible because video game movies always try to cheese themselves.
Have you seen the Sonic trailer?
That looks amazing. But yeah, same thing with like District 9. Like, we immediately criminalize these aliens and all this kind of stuff, and they're just like,
it's like a class system.
No, bro, we're just trying to get home. We need some fuel, like. That's just it. Like, can you just put some gas in
and we're gone.
We promise. But yeah, just kind of like that. And like, it seems funny too. You know, I just like to imagine those aliens. Yeah, they're just
that's
traveling through.
They run out of fuel and they're like, yo, we just got to stop here and gas up.
I believe, yeah. That's what, like their whole thing is they're just trying to like gather stuff to fuel their ship or something. It's been a little while, but it's something like that. It was something really practical though, where like they weren't the enemy.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, they more or less crash land on our planet, and instead of us offering to help them, we as humans are like, oh, Omega Lol time.
Like, how can we profit off you for being taken?
Yeah. I like to think they're just traveling through space, run out of gas. They're like, ugh, make a pit stop. Like, we don't have a choice. Like,
that place sucks, man.
Yeah,
Mars is right there.
The Earth. I only learned about that from the textbooks.
Gigi Orizzi's film there. Yeah.
Let's go. Oh, okay. Yeah, sick. Yeah. We might make the alien podcast.
I love that one.
I hope they mention us. So yeah, that would probably be my answer. Blake Russell.
What's up, Blake?
Says, dear the Dream Team, three words, 2006 O'Hare incident. Now, if you all pull up the message I have in the DM, I do have the Wikipedia page in case we're all curious. So the 2006 O'Hare International Airport UFO sighting. You wanted us to look into this.
Okay.
You know, this is like somebody who can't really say anything, but they give us a hint to look into something. This is the start of like a movie, you know?
A lot
like,
of reading.
I can't say anything, but 2006 O'Hare, like, you know what to do. We'll look into it. It occurred on November 7th, 2006, around 4:15 p.m., when a total of 12 United Airline employees and a few witnesses outside the airport at Chicago O'Hare International Airport reported a UFO sighting. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, declined to investigate the incident because the UFO was not seen on radar and called it a weather phenomenon.
Okay, well, there's a problem. I'm literally clicking through this thing. There's no pictures.
You're right. That is a problem.
No pictures.
Yeah, so that's it?
No pictures. How am I supposed to know what this thing looked like or believe if there are no pictures?
Well, they did. These people that did whatever recounted says it was first spotted by a ramp employee who was pushing back a flight, which was departing Chicago. He let the flight crew know of the object above their aircraft. It was also witnessed by pilots, airline management, and mechanics. No air traffic control saw the object, and it did not show up on radar. Witnesses described the object as completely silent. Hey, I said that. Bob was right.
I said
6 to 24 feet in diameter and dark gray in color. Several independent witnesses outside the airport also saw the object. One described a disc-shaped craft hovering over the airport, stating that it was obviously not clouds. According to this witness, the object shot through the clouds at high velocity, leaving a clear blue hole in the cloud layer. The hole reportedly seemed to close itself shortly afterward.
Well, the problem is, again, it's just words and just an account.
That's a lot of people, though.
It's just a... I should have made an incident about my Lake Powell incident, because obviously that would have been written about.
Yeah, but like, I think the thing here is there are some credible people, right? Some aviation people, pilots, all seeing this. And if they were to know, you know, I mean, flying objects, it'd probably be them, right?
Aliens.
Maybe.
So when did things get weird at Chicago O'Hare in 2006?
So... the FAA denied that they had any information on the UFO sighting until the Chicago Tribune filed a Freedom of Information Act request. The FAA then ordered an internal review of air traffic communications to comply, which subsequently uncovered a call by the United supervisor to an FAA manager in the airport tower concerning the UFO sighting. Their stance concludes that the sighting was caused by a weather phenomenon and that the agency would therefore not be investigating the incident. That is something that they would cover up. They'd be like, oh, it's nothing. Nothing to do. It's weather. We're not going to look into it. But they knew.
I mean, but I would say it was clouds if I was the government. You know, I don't want them knowing that.
I mean, it was, from what I'm reading, it was right over the airport.
Mm-hmm. Not like way up, like above them.
Like just kind of.
You can see it. Yeah.
That's sketch.
Your own eyes. That's, you know, I'm just reading what they're saying. You know what I'm saying? UFO investigators have argued that the FAA's refusal to look into the incident contradicts the agency's mandate to investigate possible security breaches at American airports, such as in this case, an object witnessed by numerous airport employees officially reported by at least one of them hovering in plain sight over one of the busiest airports in the world.
Extremely busy. I hate that airport.
See, but if it was hovering... okay. I guess I need to like stop thinking of this like it was literally over it, because if it was high enough in the air, then naturally, yeah, none of the airports would have had like a camera to see it.
Plus, I mean, nobody's like looking up there without.
No,
I must. It sounds like one guy randomly is like, "The fudge!" Like, let the guys know. And they're like, "Yeah, what the?" And then,
yeah, what is that?
I believe stuff like that happens, but
yeah, couldn't be seen on radar. That's totally possible. That's not too surprising.
Yeah, the fact that they're not like looking into it just shows even more that it's omega sus.
But I forget
2006. Jeez, that's 13 years ago. I'm so old.
But that's all we know. No, well, who really knows?
Thanks, James. Was it Brian? It was Brian.
It was
Brian.
Blake.
Blake. Thanks, Blake.
Thank you, Blake. Hey, you know.
My bad, Blake.
Just something to stoke the fire, you know? Something that might have happened. We don't know one way or the other.
Just, I mean, that story has as much as credibility as my Lake Powell story, so I can't hate.
No.
What do you mean no?
This one has more. Got news coverage. You got some credible people.
I literally
reporting
just texted
this.
Reagan credible. And said, hey, do you
credible
remember?
People.
I literally texted Reagan and I said.
Again, this information is stored right next to where your brain thought you were a 9/11 veteran, bro. I'm just saying. I don't know what's going on up there.
I said, Reagan, I need to ask you something. I said, do you remember when we were at Lake Powell and that UFO came down and put a light on us? I haven't talked to Reagan in like 4 years.
You sound like Jeremy right now. Okay, but listen.
That's what I'm saying.
It can't.
So, Jesus, man. You all right?
Yeah. The light came, brother. Yeah, I'd say the thing that has going for it is just so many people.
Yeah.
And some people who, like, again, would probably know about flying objects. And then the FAA covering it up, man, it's a conspiracy.
That is a conspiracy. But just a game theory.
Just saying. And lastly, Jameson Tanner.
What up, Jameson Tanner?
If I we think assume, it's
Tanner Jameson.
If we assume that aliens do exist,
mm-hmm.
which video game aliens do you think want to be real?
What? Oh, which ones would I want to be real?
Yeah, like,
oh, God.
Like, they're like, yep, there's aliens. Like, which one would you choose?
Pikmin? I guess, because then Pikmin. They could, yeah, they could just kind of roll with us. They're not
chilling.
Mean.
That's
yeah,
true.
They're chill. I don't want to pick like that. Like, it'd be cool to have the Covenant, but like, they're gonna try and kill us and shit. Like,
hey, we saw what they did to Reach, bro.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, I'll never forget.
They glassed that sucker.
I killed the game. It killed Halo too.
they killed Reach, the franchise.
But probably Pikmin, because I think it's the only alien right now that I can think of that's kind of chill.
That's smart. Blue, what would you do?
Dude, I'm going to go with the arrival aliens. I want the power to see it in the future.
Word.
Yeah. I mean, it's that's a dope. Video game, not movie.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, well.
Video game aliens. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Damn, there's not a lot of, like, kind of friendly
damn, they
aliens.
Couldn't have made a shitty arrival movie. Damn it. a shitty arrival video game. Damn it, dude. Fucking, I don't know.
What? You would want the high?
I don't know. You guys love Destiny. I thought maybe
almost
like,
all
oh,
the
wait,
video
the
games
so sick.
Aliens I've played were like we're murdering them.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Probably.
That's why when I picked Pikmin, I was like, nice.
Yeah, that was a good like
nice.
That was a trick question. I think you beat it.
Yeah,
you won.
I won.
As far as like not, yeah, I'd probably go with Pikmin. They're chill.
I'm gonna go with Saiyans. Haha, they're technically aliens.
What is
Dragon
that?
Ball.
Oh, I think.
What do you mean? We're
Saiyans. Oh, Saiyans. I thought you said Sans like Undertale.
Oh, no,
I was like,
Saiyans.
Saiyans. That'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be super dope. But they take over planets.
Yeah,
and they
can have it.
That's actually not good. Yeah, that's actually really bad.
Yeah, that's actually probably the worst pick.
But if we're in Dragon Ball, that means all those aliens exist.
Well, I mean, canonically, Goku protects Earth. So you know what? Never mind.
Can you imagine if we had a Goku? Plus, we can't lose, dude. He's got plot armor. So Earth is safe.
He literally has plot armor.
Earth is safe.
We win.
Yeah. Although, he'll also wager us for a tournament. But don't worry. Plot armor. We should be okay.
He has a plan.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing. He wouldn't just do that,
too.
Totally has a plan.
He definitely doesn't have a family.
Oh, God.
He's like, hey, guys, I kind of like bet our universe. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sick, dude. I mean, what did he expect to happen?
I'm going to go get Frieza.
I did like, though, in Super, this made me think of just like aliens and civilization, was at one point with Zamasu, when he's learning from the Kai, the Supreme Kai, they go to like a planet, and they're like supposed to, they just observe. They're not supposed to interfere. And so they're like at a planet where there's like early life. And he goes, no, let's see like what happens to them. Because he's trying to prove that like not all humanity or like life is bad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, let's just, and like does the thing and like fast forwards like 30,000 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, okay, they didn't evolve. So they're like still just like dumb apes or whatever, like fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that's cool. Like maybe that's people watching us. Like, hey, let's
yeah,
see.
They're just like Xenosun. And
they're like, ooh, that's okay. We'll just bring that back.
If they saw us, they'd be like, bah, not bad.
Yeah, it could be worse.
Not bad. Polar ice caps are still kind of there.
I mean,
so. Be worse.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Jameson, and thank you all for listening to this alien podcast. Let us know what you thought of a...
Do you believe?
Yeah. Well, yeah. First off, if you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment down below. If you did listen to it, your thoughts, the Bob Lazar part, or just aliens in general, or hit us up on our social media, or if you're listening via audio, just give us a rating. Thank you.
Five.
Love you.
Or seven.
Ten.
Maybe hey, nine.
Why stop there? You know what I'm saying?
69.
But we do appreciate that. And if you do like these theme podcasts, I kind of want to do one later on with just conspiracies. Just look up the weirdest conspiracies and, you
and
know,
like actual
those.
Conspiracies like maybe that we believe in.
Yeah. Or like there's some weird ones, man.
Yeah. Like there's the DIA really conspiracy. Have you ever heard of that one?
Uh huh.
Yeah.
There's tons of them.
That's not one real one. That one's not real at all.
Well, we'll find some that anyway.
There, so.
Like if that sounds something cool to you guys. But other than that, we will be back next week with all of the off-topicness you could possibly imagine.
Not taking next week off.
No. No weeks off. Well, we might take... I mean, I think we'll like... Every
we'll let
now
you
and
know.
Then, yeah, we'll let you know breaks or like, you know, every couple months or something, take a week off or whatever, but it's not important.
We'll see you guys in 8 months.
Blue, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Blue Westlow everywhere.
So when did things get weird? you guys can find me at twitch.tv/RobbieV and RobbieV all over the internet.
Google Mr. Fruit, and hopefully it takes you get me and not that like Singapore shop.
What?
There's this weird, everyone sends it to me.
Oh,
it's like, look, it's your store. It's
cop some merch.
No,
cop your Mr. Fruit merch though. Well, and cop your Blue Westlow merch.
Yeah, but if they're listening to this today, like it's almost done. So.
Oh, so get it today. It's the last day you can fucking get it.
Just get merch, dude.
Bitches.
Hoodie season. Talk to you next week.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.